Thank you, guys. Wow, he can preach, can't he? He like already preached in that prayer. That was so, wow. One of my favorite preachers always says, I'm hyena happy and peacock proud to be here, and I really am today. Thank you guys for having me. This is different. I know. I'm not used to being on this side of the pulpit. I'll let you know if I like it in about 20 minutes. So I came to Jonathan with the idea to preach a Mother's Day message actually last September. I had just gotten back from a conference in Indianapolis called the Multiply Conference that I could just go ahead and talk about, but you guys need to Google it. It was a fantastic conference for me. And I came back and I was so on fire with this word that the Lord had given me there. And I came to Jonathan and I said, I don't really want to tell you this, but I think I need to preach on Mother's Day. And he was so, and has been, so supportive and so, like, really excited for me for this day. So I will say, Jonathan has a week to prepare a message less than that, because he's got a lot of other stuff going on. I've had 7 months, and I'm still really unsure of this. So he knocks it out. I know I'm biased, but he knocks it out of the park every week, and he has less than that. So I just had to give props to that, because I do see now how hard it is, and you really do carry that spiritual burden for the word that the Lord's given you. So anyway, this conference that I went to is called the Multiply Conference, and when I was there, I met a man named Daryl Earlywine. And Daryl is the creator of this online course called Spiritual DNA. So I just, right off the bat, I ripped off his title. So he got up, and in one of the lectures that I went to by him, he was talking about this course that he created, and it's like, it's all online, and it's just a series of lessons and videos and things like that to kind of help you uncover your spiritual DNA, who you were created to be by Christ, who you were uniquely designed to be, and then once you kind of uncover all of that, then what are some next steps? What are some things we can do to kind of tap into your spiritual DNA to use them in the roles that you're in? So I was like, wow, that sounds fantastic. That's what everybody wants, right? And so after the session, I went up and talked to him about it, and I was like, I got to know more about the spiritual DNA course. And he said, well, you're in luck. Everybody here this week for this conference gets 50% off the tuition for the course, and I like don't ever say no to a bargain. So I said, yeah, I'll sign up now. So I signed up for it, and I will forever be grateful that I did. I'm still not done with it. Just, you know, motherhood, I thought I was going to fly through that course, and I'm still working through it. But it has already blessed me so much, and I've been so thankful for the word that it's given me to share with you guys today. So this is what I'm going to talk about. The Bible says in 1 Peter, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And I really love this verse because it doesn't say that the Lord has given us a gift from his small little bag of gifts, or from his limited variety of gifts, from his great variety of gifts he has given us, from his vastness he has given us so freely. And one thing that it seems really simple, and I think I always knew to be true, but one thing that the spiritual DNA course has really uncovered for me is that the gifts that you've been given, he doesn't just give gifts to preachers and teachers and evangelists. He gives the gifts of wisdom, of hospitality, of communication, of patience. These are all gifts from him that we all have and we can all use in our daily roles. Ephesians said he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about that to you through the story of Mary and Martha. And I know that seems like a big jump, but hopefully I can connect it all for you. So we're going to look at scripture today from Luke 10. And this is the story of Mary and Martha. It's probably a familiar story to you, but hopefully I can shed some light on it for you. The scripture says, while Jesus and his followers were traveling, Jesus went into a town. A woman named Martha let Jesus stay at her house. Martha had a sister named Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him teach. But Martha was busy with all the work to be done. She went in and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to do all the work? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about and upset about many things. Only one thing is important. Mary has chosen the better thing, and it will never be taken away from her. So as part of this spiritual DNA course, I had to take a test called the Enneagram test. Has anybody ever heard of that? I told him about it. Yeah, okay. So the Enneagram test is kind of actually pretty big in the church world right now. It was created by the Enneagram Institute, and it's just an in-depth personality test. We've probably all taken at some point like a Myers-Briggs test, right? Like INFJ or ENFJ or whatever you are. So this is just, this test is longer, and you're given a number. You're assigned kind of a number within the Enneagram scale after you take this test. So, nobody's taken it, you guys probably don't know what number you are, but I'm a 4. That will mean nothing to you. But let me just tell you, if you are married to a 4, I'm sorry, because we got a lot of stuff going on. And the Enneagram test, part of the definition for a 4 is this. This is how it's defined. You 4s are defined as unique, different, and fiercely independent. And my husband says amen. You guys know this song. I'm going to rap for you. Are you ready? Because I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E. He knows it because I sing it all the time. That's like my mantra. I sing it all the time. I'm teaching it to my daughter because I think she's a 4 too. Like I said, poor Jonathan. Actually, my mom's here. Poor my mom, because she put up with my 4-ness for a lot longer than he has. So unique and different. This, as a 4, this kind of comes as a gift, a blessing, and a curse, right? So in my 4-ness, 4s can often feel special and set apart because of their uniqueness. But with that, they can also carry very deep feelings of shame and fear of being just different enough or just on the outside enough to not be heard or to not be understood. And this can cause 4s to be really moody and temperamental, because 4s are also very comfortable expressing our emotions. So with that desire to manifest those emotions, 4s often express it through art. And this is me in a nutshell. I'm an artist, and that's how I express most of my emotions, is through some sort of creative work. Fun fact, Jonathan's a 1. And when on the Enneagram Institute, when you like find out what you are, you can click which one you're in a relationship with. And then it kind of tells you, kind of like breaks down what that relationship looks like. And the description it gave was a 1 with a 4, it can work, but it's like oil and water. But it can work. It works well for us. We are very, very different. But anyway, this is me in a nutshell. You guys are going to know more about me than you ever wanted to know. But we're going to look at who we are today through our spiritual DNA. And I haven't preached before. You guys know this. But I think you're supposed to have 3 points. And I don't think that you're supposed to give them all away at the beginning. But I'm going to do that. So spoiler alert. We're going to talk today about the brilliance of our roles, the distractions in our roles, and the destiny of our roles through our spiritual DNA and through who Jesus has called us to be. So we look at the brilliance of our leadership in any role, wherever you guys are finding yourself at today. The brilliance of your leadership in any role is knowing what you're good at, and then by default, what you're not good at, right? Those gaps in our leadership, those gaps in the way we were created. Knowing who I am and how I am and why I am that way. And when you have a good understanding of that, and you have a good grasp of that, the wins that will come with that in your life and in the roles that you have are out of this world. For years, I lived and worked in roles not even knowing my gaps. Right? I didn't, and maybe I did know the things I was bad at, but I never acknowledged them. So it's really important for us to understand our passions and to understand our strengths, which is our spiritual DNA, but to also understand the underbelly of that, right? The backside, the flip side, the dark side of that, to understand who you're not. And this will make you a better leader in the roles that you're in. And when we look at Martha in this story, we look at Martha in the scope of her gaps, that girl was confident. She was confident in her gift. She was so confident in her gifts of hospitality and preparation that she invited the Savior of the world to her house, to her home. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't like unexpected gifts. Yes. And it's not because I don't want people in my home. It's because I like to be prepared. I like to have a clean house. Like, I tell Jonathan, pick your socks up. Come on, we got to get this place clean. And he immediately is like, is somebody coming over? Like, no, our house doesn't have to be clean for people to come over. But yeah, somebody's coming over. Get your socks off the floor, right? That's just who I am. This is not who Martha was. Martha didn't need preparation. That girl stayed ready. She was ready. She was prepared, so prepared that she invited Jesus into her house. Martha had the gift of hospitality. She had the gift of organization. She had the gift of confidence to do that, to extend that invitation. It's like Martha was saying, Jesus, you are the creator of all things. You are in all things and you are of all things, but you haven't tried my casserole. Come stay with me, right? So Martha invites Jesus into her house. She uses her gifts of hospitality, of preparation, and of organization, which, side note, these are gifts that are often overlooked in the church, especially. These are the gifts, these behind-the-scenes gifts, that's what keeps this place running. The men and the women that have these talents of hospitality, organization, and preparation. So this is where Martha is. She's got these things going, and she's in the kitchen, and she's working. She's working up a storm. And when I think of the meal she must be preparing for Jesus, like, this is Thanksgiving dinner times 10. She's got everything, like casserole, gravy. She's got the oven preheated. She's got everything going on. I always think of Jonathan's grandma's house, because when we would go over there for a meal, the door we entered through went right into the kitchen, and the steam that was on the kitchen window as you walked in, you could smell everything. That was Martha's kitchen. She had the steam going. She was dripping sweat. I mean, she was rolling dough. Everything was from scratch. She was a mastery at the top of her work right now. This is what she did. Martha was a hostess. She was working. She was sweating. She was cooking. And then we see on the other side of that, Mary's in the living room. She's relaxed, and she's just chilling with Jesus. She's just talking with Jesus. She's like laid back, lounging, and this made Martha so angry. And she was so confident that she was right about what she was angry about. And when I wrote this down, like, I curled my toes in, because I do this all the time. I get so confident that I'm right about what I'm angry about that I think I have a right to be angry. And this is Martha. And this was her gap. This was Martha's gap. She was confident. She was passionate. She was really confident, because she goes up and talks to Jesus about Mary right in front of Mary's face. She says, let's go back to the scripture and look. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to do all the work? And then she says this, tell her to get up and help me. Like, think of the boldness of that. This is Martha telling Jesus what to do. Tell her to get up and help me. Martha, she was gifted. She was talented. She was passionate. But she did not see the gap in her role. She didn't see it. She missed it. She came across as rude, and she assumed, and she was arrogant. This is Martha's gap. When I found out that I was a four, I did a lot of reading and studying, because, you know, I like want to know everything about myself now. And as I was reading, I learned that my reactions to stress, or my reactions to anything that go against my will, can be very emotionally charged. And I kind of read into that, and to me, that didn't really seem bad when I learned that. I thought, because to me, emotion equals passion, equals creativity, equals problem solved. Like, game over. I fixed it. We can move on. But the individualist in me, I often, when I'm presented with a problem or something that conflicts my will, I'll take that, I'll run, I'll internalize it, and then I'll create a solution, and then I come back and I'll be like, oh, good, that's done. But often, which sounds great, but often I come out on the other side of that, and I'm isolated, I'm emotionally drained, and I'm alone. And I look back, and I see the people that I've left in the dust in my mad scramble to fix things, which are usually the people who love me the most and have the most grace for me. But I look back, and they're standing there like, how's it going for you now, Miss I-N-D-E-E-P? You know, like, and this is my gap. This is how I am. And if you're this way, it's okay. This is the way I am. It's probably not going to change, but it's okay. If you're the opposite of that, that's okay too. It's okay to know and understand our gaps and the leadership and in the roles that we have, as long as we see those gaps and know that there is only one who can fill them. As long as we know that only Christ can fill those gaps. As long as we know that He's the only one who knows our gaps inside and out, He knows our strengths, He knows our passions, He knows our weaknesses, then those gaps are okay if we pour His love and His grace into them. Our roles, the roles that we play, do not define us, but our relationship with Him does, and it always will. We see Martha, and she's speaking with so much confidence that she misses this. She misses that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's so busy and she's so confident in her role that she misses the presence of the Lord. Since I've really been kind of digging into this word and studying this, I often tell myself, like, man, I really Martha'd that situation. When I look back on something and I was so passionate and confident that I couldn't see what was so wrong. I couldn't see what I was missing. And I'm really trying to, in life, be able to look back and say, I really married that situation. I want to be Mary, and I want to always enter into His presence before anything else. I find it so easy sometimes to become so consumed in my own presence that I miss out on the power of His. I do that a lot. But thankfully, Jesus has a response. He has a response for Martha that's filled with grace, but it's also filled with a lot of wisdom. And He says, Martha, Martha. And I have to say, every time I used to read this, I would always think of the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I don't think that's how Jesus was saying it, but that's how I hear it. But He says it twice. He says, Martha, Martha. And if you have ever dug into this word, you know when Jesus says your name twice, something's coming. He is about to bring a word to you, because it's just like, this is Mother's Day, we can talk about this. Like, don't make Mama say it twice. Don't make me say your name twice. He says, Martha, Martha, the problem isn't in your giftedness. It's not in your confidence. It's not in your passion. The problem is in your distractedness. And that is a word. I looked it up. Distractedness. So I have to tell you guys about this experience that I had. July 12th, 2018 will forever go down in history as the day that Build-A-Bear gave away the pay your age, the Build-A-Bears, you know? So they have this big campaign to kick off this pay your age thing where, so if you brought a kid and he was 2 years old, the Build-A-Bear was $2. Adults could do it too. So any child under a year, it was only $1. And I was like I said, I can't pass up a good bargain. It must be a four thing, because I was like, I'm going to get this baby girl $1 Build-A-Bear. She was only 9 months old at the time. And before, like, finance goes back and gives Jonathan a raise, the sad part is, like, we could have afforded to buy her a full-price Build-A-Bear, but I just couldn't pass up that dollar Build-A-Bear. So we got up early that morning, I drank a bunch of coffee, and I was like, I'm going to get us ready, and I'm going to get us there on time. They were anticipating kind of a crowd, so they said that they were going to open the doors to the mall, not to Build-A-Bear, but to the mall early. So we got there an hour and a half before the mall opened, and mine was almost to the entry. And at our mall, there's the entrance, and then there's wings to the mall, and Build-A-Bear's over here, so the line was here, down the swing, and then all the way to the front of the mall. And this is an hour and a half before it opened, and I was like, man, okay, I'm just going to do it. We don't have anything else planned today. I'm just going to get in this line. So right after that, I mean, it's Build-A-Bear. There's a ton of kids there. I love kids, but my gosh. And it was more the parents, right? And I'm not parent shaming, but like, kids, your hoodlums under control. There were kids like throwing McDonald's breakfast. It was terrible. And I was like, I was more aggravated like at the parents of these kids, right? And I'm like, this, okay, don't let that get to you. I cannot be grouchy. This is supposed to be like a fun filled day with my daughter. And then I had to go to the bathroom because I drank so much coffee to get up and get us both ready there on time that it was terrible. But I knew that if I left line with the stroller and everything, I was going to have to start all over. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hold it. She's worth it. This is all worth it. And, oh my gosh, I was in a bad mood. And so we're in line, and this grandma with her two grandkids comes up behind us. She has this little boy and this little girl. And the little girl starts kind of talking, and she's playing with Emerson, and she was so sweet. They were from Kentucky, and she had the thickest, like, Kentucky accent. She had this sweet little face. She was precious. So I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not going to let any of this stuff get to us. I'm going to enjoy this moment with these sweet girls. And so she was playing with Emerson, and I knelt down to Emerson's stroller, and I was like, do you girls know why you're here? You're here because you are so loved. And you're here because you deserve this. And you're here because there is nothing that your parents or your grandparents wouldn't do for you. You've been waiting this crazy long line. And I stood up and I was like, man, this is a moment. This is such a moment. This is amazing. Emerson's smiling up at me, and this little girl, she's looking at me, and in her sweet little Kentucky accent, she looks at me, and I'm like, man, she's like really taking this in. She'll remember this moment for the rest of her life. And she looks at me and she goes, you're a hot mess. I was like, okay, well, that's fair. But do you see this? In the face of our Father's love and grace, He's coming to us and He's saying, you are loved and you are so deserving and you are so worthy of this, and there's nothing that I wouldn't come and do for you. In the face of all that, we get so distracted by the hot messes of the world, don't we? We do. We get so distracted. It's like Jesus, He comes and He says, Martha, Martha. He comes to me and He says, Sarah, Sarah, you are distracted by many things. But the Savior of the world is in your living room. Quit worrying about the hot messes. Quit worrying about the dishes in the sink. Quit worrying about the laundry. Come into a relationship with me. Your role does not define you, but your relationship with me always will. No matter what your role is today, what your job title is, whatever place in life you find yourself in, you have the Creator of all things face to face with you in your work and in your mission. We can't afford to become distracted by the hot messes, by the payroll, by the messy rooms, by the meal planning and the spreadsheets. When God is saying, put the spreadsheets away and spread yourself out on the floor. Recognize who your Father is. Come to me. This is all He wants. Come into a relationship with me. Your roles do not define you, but your relationship with Him does. This preacher in California, I found this quote and I nerded out because this is so perfect. I wish that I could claim my fame to it. But he says, it's important for you not to fall for the greatest distractions of the world as you fulfill the greatest mission in the world. I have to say that again because it's so good. It's important for you not to fall for the greatest distractions in the world as you fulfill the greatest mission in the world. And this starts with by entering into a relationship with Christ. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're doing good work, but you're focused on the wrong thing. When Jesus is in the room, which by the way, He always is, when Jesus is in the room, that should change and shape everything else. He says, what you're doing is okay, Martha, but then He says this about Mary. He says, Mary has chosen the greater thing. The work, the meetings, the late night feedings, the conference calls, the dirty diapers, the laundry, the dishes, all of that will fade away. All of that will pass away, but the presence of the Lord, His presence is eternal, and it never will. And in our daily roles, if we choose the eternal things and don't get distracted by the hot messes, that's when we'll find ourselves in His presence. And this is a lot easier said than done. I know that. Our culture is not one of let's stop and rest. Our culture is one of hustle and bustle and let's get things done. But imagine what would happen if we stopped working for the Sabbath and we started working from the Sabbath. If we started by resting in His presence, that would propel us to do good work the rest of the week. Chick-fil-A, which should endorse us because we talk about them so much in this church. Somebody get me some free chicken, right? They do this so well. They just simply trust God. You know, they're closed on Sundays, and everybody knows that because that's when we all want chicken the most. And you can't tell me that at some point in the history of Chick-fil-A, there wasn't some meeting where they said, they ran the numbers and they said, look at all the money we could make if we were open on Sundays, just from church people alone. Just for church lunch. All of this money, this extra money that can be made. But kingdom math works differently. And Chick-fil-A makes more money in 6 days than all of the rest do in seven. They marry the situation. Chick-fil-A will never look back and say, man, we really marthed that. No, they get themselves out of the kitchen and they enter into the presence of God and they tell everybody who eats at Chick-fil-A to do the same. Imagine how much more output we would have if we sat in His presence first and worked from the Sabbath and not for it. Let's not work for the Sabbath in the sense that, and I do this, here's my checklist for the week. If I get all of this done, then I'll earn the Sabbath, then I'll earn that time of rest. The Sabbath is freely given to us. We don't need to work for it. We need to work from it. And if we do this, the place that we're destined to be, it's right there. It's in His presence. That's the place, no matter what role we're in, no matter what we're doing, the place that we are destined to be is in the presence of the Lord. Our roles do not define us, but our relationship with Christ does. I have one more story, and then I'll close for you guys. But has anybody read the biography of Walt Disney? It's really fantastic. But his daughter, Diane Disney, she talks about in this biography that she remembers when she went to elementary school for the first time, and she had to get up in front of the class and introduce herself. And she said, "Hi, I'm Diane Disney." And when she said that, all the kids started freaking out. They were high-fiving and laughing, and she started crying, and she was like, "What is going on?" The teacher came up and she said, "Diane, what's wrong?" And she said, "They're all laughing at me because of who I am." And her teacher was like, "No, they're just excited because of who your dad is." And she was like, "Walter Disney?" And the teacher was like, "Yeah, Walt Disney. Walt Disney as in Disneyland." And she said, "They're just really excited that they get to be in class with Walt Disney's daughter." And she said she went home that day and she was so mad. And she said, "Dad, you never told me who you were. Why didn't you ever tell me who you were?" And I find it so interesting that he never let his role affect his relationship with his daughter. He was the owner of the biggest franchise in America. And his daughter was clueless. Because to her, all that he was her father. And she said that she walked around for months in awe of who her father was. Guys, our Father isn't the creator of Disney World, but He is the creator of all the world. And we should walk around in awe of that. We should walk around in a complete awe that we get to be in the presence of the creator of all things. So in your pursuit to be the best, to be the leader, to be the best version of yourself in whatever role that you're in, learn who you are and who you aren't. Learn those gaps, right? Don't get distracted by the hot messes of the world. Work from His presence and not for it. And if you do all of these things, you're going to be in the place where you're destined to be. You're going to be in His presence. And I can tell you that's the best place to be. And I think you guys know that too, or you wouldn't be here. We can't let our roles define us, but we can certainly let our relationship with Him define us, as it should.